You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for the Boner Planet Podcast is presented by
Dead Downwind, Tinks, Shadowhunter Blinds, Burris Optics, Dead Ringer, The Grind, Bomar Archery, Element Outdoors, Reveal Cellular Camera, HHA and HHA USA, Black Eagle Arrows,
Cobra Archery,
Camp Chef,
Novix Outdoors,
and caffeine support provided by Deer Cam Coffee.
Hey guys, welcome to the Boner Planet Podcast. Tonight we got Dylan Ray from Hunting 101 Podcast from Bear Archery. Dylan, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm absolutely wonderful. How are you guys?
Good.
Can't complain.
So excited to have you on. I know we've done some stuff in the past. I've been on your show, and you guys are killing it over there, doing such a great job. And it's always interesting to me to do anything with Bear Archery in general, mainly because of just such heritage with that brand. And it's just so nice to have you doing this and working that and having that and not letting go of the stories, the hunting and all that, because I think it's such an important thing to our industry as well as the heritage of hunting and Fred Bear. So anyway, tell us, how's it going?
Man, it's going wonderful. And that's part of that. That's always been my draw to Bear Archery. You hear so many guys say, well, my first bow was a bear, or the first bow I bought was a bear. And that's my story. The first bow that I actually put my money towards to buy was a bear bow. And so that's what, brought me into it. And worked at a bow shop through college. And, I'll be honest, some of the guys in the shop made fun of the fact that I shot a bear. And so I walked away from bear archery and for a number of years and came back to them. This podcast originally was under the name of Powder Hook. I don't know if you're familiar with them at all. Was under the name of Powder Hook, and I kind of had the opportunity to take the podcast and run. And so Bear Archery had worked with the podcast for a while, and so they took it under their wing. And what an honor. If you had to ask me as a kid what's one company you want to work for when you grow up, it would have been Bear Archery. And because of that heritage, because of that history, because of that just rich tradition coming from Bear Archery. And so it's been an honor to get to work for them and to get to know the guys there. I can truly say that I believe that with the staff they have now that I believe that Fred Bear would be proud. And I believe that he would be proud of the way they carry on his name and his legacy. And so, man, things are going absolutely wonderful. Busy, of course, but just absolutely wonderful. So
awesome, man. Yeah, Bear really has stepped up their game, right? I mean, they keep coming out with all this cool new stuff launching. I mean, they're really at the forefront of where the industry is going. I mean, especially with this podcast stuff and all of that. So it is quite amazing to see Bear over the long, long history that they have, but then continuing to sit at the forefront of where the industry is going with technology and products that they're putting out and just the marketing side of things. I mean, it hasn't been until, I don't know, probably the last 5 or 6 years that company has really been coming on board with the online content and all of that stuff. And it's really been really cool to see companies like Bear Archery putting out podcasts and content and all that kind of stuff. Tell us a little bit about like the history of this podcast. When did it first launch? How many episodes do you guys have? What's going on with it?
So it launched, I guess 2 years ago, and it was under the Powder Hook name. And so I worked really closely with Bear Archery from that podcast. And Powder Hook, and I don't want to speak too much to it because I'm not sure of everything, but Powder Hook got bought out by a very political organization. So basically they said, you have two choices. You can either, you know, continue to host the podcast and it be very, very reined in as to what you can say, how you can say it, why you can say it. And, or we're going to give you this opportunity to take it as your own. And so again, I had worked with the guys in some sort of capacity at Bear for about 4 or 5 years now. And so, I was real familiar with them and just knew that they were just great to work with. And so, you know, I just thought to myself, well, if there's one person I want to take this podcast, it would be Bear. And so, I took it to them, and they took it on as their podcast. We pulled down all the old episodes. And so now we're back up to about 45 underneath the Bear name. So, since the relaunch with Bear Archery, it's at about 45 episodes. Before it was, you know, maybe had 80 episodes, 90 episodes up. And so, but yeah, since the relaunch, we're sitting at 45 episodes now. So
awesome. Are you guys launching on a weekly basis or what's your schedule like with it?
Yes, sir. Every Wednesday morning, every Wednesday awesome. Morning. And we try to do a lot of series. So beforehand, before when it was with Powder Hook, it was all series, which was fun. But when Bear Archery took it over, we wanted to do series, but not all be series. So like we just wrapped up a traditional 101 series, teaching you the very basics from the beginning, how to shoot a recurve, how to get into hunting with a traditional bow. And so, you know, we had guys like Jim Willems from the Pope and Young Club and Aaron Schneider and Fred Eichler and Clay Hayes. And I mean, just, you know, we got to pull from guys who, if anybody was going to want to learn how to shoot a recurve, that's who they would want to call. You know, Tom Klum from Rocky Mountain Specialty Gear and Harv Ebers, who is one of the founding members of Pope and Young. So just some iconic members of the traditional world we got to pull from and learn from these guys. And so, you know, we'll do like an elk series when it gets closer to elk season. And, but yeah, we run a lot of series, you know, teaching you from the basics. If you want to get into, you know, say, bear hunting or traditional archery, or you know, we do those series teaching you from step one, how can you get into that. But you know, then of course we just have your fun storytelling episodes that everybody likes to hear. So
what's your favorite when you're doing all this different content, like do you like the ones like that are teaching people from the scratch, or are you liking the story ones? For you as a host, what's your favorite?
Both. No, that's a cop out.
yes, it, I was going to call you out on it. So
you know,
thanks for calling out yourself.
I would say it's more dependent on the guest than the format of the episode. You know, I mean, anytime you have Fred Eichler on, it's just a joy. He's just a fun guy to talk with. He could literally talk about dirt and it'd be entertaining, just because he's so energized and has so much fun with it. No, I really do like the series, because like with the traditional series, I myself, when I started this series, I guess the first one I recorded was back in July with Jim Willems. And I told myself, if I'm going to teach people how to shoot a recurve, then I'm going to do it too. So I put down the compound, and so I literally was learning from the ground up how to shoot a recurve. And so, you know, just like everybody else, I get to learn from world-class guys on how to shoot a recurve. So I would say I really love the series, man, just because, you know, if you're going to learn how to elk hunt, I mean, why not get Remy Warren to teach you how to elk hunt, you know?
No doubt.
So I really like the series, man, because I get to learn new tactics, new tricks, new ways of hunting just with everybody else. As they learn, I learn. So I like the series, man.
Well, I see that you've made the switch because I read the shirt, right? Traditional only. So, you know, it had some sort of effect on you, right?
Man, it has eaten me up in every way possible. It really has.
Blisters on every finger too?
Yes. Yep. No, I find myself wanting to shoot 10 times more than I ever wanted to shoot my compound. And Fred was the one that shed some light on that. He's like, well, it's because when you're shooting a compound, you're either shooting good and you're satisfied, or you're shooting bad and you're pissed. But with a recurve, you're either shooting good and you're stinking pumped, or you're shooting bad and you're satisfied. So it's like, there's no euphoric high with a compound, you know, but with a recurve, when you hit the bullseye, it's like, holy cow, I did it, you know? And so then you want to keep shooting. And so it's consumed every part of me, man. I love it. It definitely is a struggle for sure. But I did, you know, I wasn't quite ready deer season. I started in July, kind of playing with it and tinkering around with it. And I wasn't quite ready with deer season when it rolled around. So I did shoot my buck here in Kansas last year with a compound. But, you know, I can say by this point, deer season this year will be strictly with a recurve. So
I love it. I love it. I love that it's traditional fun, side of things. There's a lot of guys out there that have switched back to it, you know, that started with it many years ago, went to a compound, and now they're back at it, just like what you said, for the fun of it. So that's awesome, man.
I hear a lot of both, actually. I hear a lot of people say they did switch to it, can't get a deer, so they stopped and they went back to crossbow now. So I think it's just all about, you know, you and your drive and what you want to do. I mean, it's like I always tell myself, like, oh, I should pick up traditional and do it right, but let's be honest, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna get it done. It's not that I won't take it out with me. The odds of me hitting a deer with it are slim to none. And I've seen shooters with traditional that could outshoot a compound bow shooter. That's how good they are with instinct shooting, which is incredible. But the amount I practice and stuff, I would not feel comfortable or justified shooting it at a deer without something more that I'm better with, I guess.
You said you got to find that drive, man. And I'll tell you, I was on the phone with John Dudley one time, and I said, well, I'm shooting a recurve now. And he said, oh, I enjoy accuracy. And for me, that's my drive. And now let me preference this for all you traditional guys out there. Don't get pissed at John Dudley. He was saying he himself isn't accurate with a traditional bow. That's what he was saying. He wasn't saying you can't be. He wasn't saying that they're unethical. So don't start that stuff. But that was my drive. I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to show you, you know, I'm going to prove to you that I can be accurate. So that was my drive. And I told him that on the phone the other day, and he just laughed. He said, well, I didn't know that would have a lasting impact on you. You know, I thought it was just a joke, but I said, yeah, man, I that was kind of my push into you can do this, you know, but I'll tell you, you know, I had those doubts too of will it ever get done? Can I ever get it done? I mean, obviously I struggle with it a ton. And I really got to the point where I was super confident at 20 yards. And, you know, I just started looking back on the years and I'm like, man, you know, average deer that I've shot is, you know, 24 yards, maybe, maybe even lower. And so I just thought to myself, well, I'm already ready for that. So I took it to Texas with me and I didn't get to shoot a whitetail, but I shot a hog. And, you know, once I shot that hog, it was almost just like okay, you're good. Like you can do this, you know? So yeah, I mean, once that first animal was harvested, it was almost like, okay, you have nothing else to worry about now. So
how did it do against that hog, man? Those are some tough animals to put down sometimes.
Well, I can't say one way or the other. Here's why. So I shot the pig and it ran into the thickest stuff you've ever seen. And it was already dark. By the time that I walked up to the edge of the brush, it was already dark. And so I started tracking blood and I get to where I just couldn't go any further. Now the whole time that I was tracking this pig, I could hear it. So I could hear it squalling and I could hear it like the final death squall. So I know it died. And I know it died just 20 yards from where I was at, but I just couldn't get any further into the brush. So I know it did enough to kill him, but I don't know, you know, I didn't get to look at exit wounds. I didn't get to look at entry wounds. You know, I'm shooting the single bevel from Cutthroat Broadheads, which is made by Tom Klum, and I got them sharpened up really well, and so they penetrate really good, but I didn't get to look at it at the animal, so I don't know, you know, and I don't want to lie to you, so.
No, that's all good, man.
I could have shot it in the neck for all I know. I don't know. Right.
There's been times that we're out, and we've done a hog hunt or two, and you know, you take the shot and it's a beautifully placed shot, but that thing, it just won't go down. Right. So it takes, you know, another one or two to put it down sometimes. So that's what I was wondering, but
yeah,
one shot and you did it. That's a good effect.
How many yards was that shot?
About 17
yards. Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. I didn't range it. But I would say 17. I mean, after I walked it off, you know, I kind of just counted in my head as I walked back to where I shot the pig, and it was about 17 yards ish.
Did it run away from you, or did it barrel right for you?
Now, at first, man, when I heard that pig squall, I thought it was coming right at me.
Uh-huh.
So I was down there with Alec from Bear Archery, and we were filming and we were on camera, and you see me run backwards like a little girl. And then I realized the pig's not coming. So I stopped but I started backpedaling pretty quick when I thought that pig was coming out after me.
they can be mean little dudes, I'll tell you, man.
Yes.
I had one, I'd shot it. I want to say it was probably at about 30 yards with a crossbow. And this thing, like, instead of, you know, like a whitetail, it's usually typically moving away from the sound and from the direction that the shot came in. Not this thing, man. It turned, came straight at me. And I'm like backed up against this tree, got nowhere to go. And I, you know, it's a crossbow. There's no reloading or anything like that in time. So right. I just kind of stood there and literally about 6 feet in front of me, it turned and went to my side and like, oh man, that was a close one. It can be a little scary. I love it.
Yeah. So tell us about some of the guests on the show. Who have you had on so far and who's in the lineup coming up?
So right in the pipeline, we've got Matt Jennings from The Game. He comes out tomorrow. Well, I don't know when this episode is going to air, but he comes out tomorrow from when we're recording. Then next week we've got, Zach Fehrenbaugh from the Hunting Public. We've got, who else on the pipeline? I want to have Clay Hayes on again. I just announced that he was on season 8 of Alone. And so I want to have him back on to talk about his experience there. Just recently, you know, we wrapped up the traditional series not too long ago. So we had all those guys on, did a really fun, just storytelling episode, with Clay Hayes, Aaron Snyder, Fred Eichler, and Jim Willems. So that was just absolutely ridiculous. You know, we've had, I had Jordan Jonas on, who is the season 6 winner of Alone. First guy on Alone history to kill a big game animal while on the show. So that was pretty cool to hear him talk about.
Was he the one that shot the moose or no?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was so amazing. Absolutely.
That was awesome.
How many people could be on your show at once with your systems?
4.
Very cool. Cause I was just going to say, we would love to be on with the Alone people. Cause we've had Naked and Afraid people on before in different shows, and Alone's like one of our favorites. It's so fun to talk about like how they did those things. And like, I just think it's so interesting. So detailed.
Man, I'm super anxious to see Clay Hayes. I think that he'll just do phenomenal. You know, of course you can't tell how he did yet, but it's funny when he was on the show, I was asking all the guys, you know, how was your last hunting season? And I thought it was so strange. He was like, I didn't get to hunt much. I was working on a pretty big project. And I'm like, man, what kind of project would you be working on that didn't involve hunting? And so like, I was literally racking my brain. And then of course, Aaron Snyder in the background goes, I know what he's talking about. And I'm like, what's going on here? You know? And then he announced that he was on the show, and I'm like, that's why he didn't get to hunt. I'm like, well, if you didn't get the hunt, you must have lasted decently amount of time, you know?
Right.
It's not like you went out for 10 days or you would have came back and hunted. So I'm anxious to see how it unfolds, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that show is pretty awesome, man. I watched several seasons of it. And these guys and girls, not just guys, so super impressive with the skills that they have. Like, I would be done in the first 2 hours when my feet got cold and I didn't have foot warmers in my boots. So, you know, tons of credit to them for sure.
I'll never forget the couple seasons ago where the guy, he was like a ex-military guy, and he gets there and he,
the bear,
yeah, he sees a bear in the first 30 minutes
and he's like, I'm out,
he's like, I'm out of here, calls it. I'm like, are you serious right now?
No, I saw one guy though, he saw a bear and he's like, man, I'm not a hunter, so I don't have any kind of weapon, but I'm gonna go after it. And he starts chasing the bear.
Yeah.
And I saw that guy. His reasoning was actually legit. He's like, you know, I want him to know this is my camp and, you know, whatever. But man, I was like, he went right after it with no weapon, no nothing.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive to last that long with what, like, I think they get like 10 items or something like that. And that's it. I mean, to build your own shelter, have your own heat source. There's some crazy things that happened on that show, like some big fires, you know, some major injuries and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's some real legit stuff. So
I'll tell you, man, that guy that won the last one, he was incredible. Killed the one that killed the muskox and stuff. Holy cow.
Awesome. Yeah.
No, I'll tell you, man. And then you watch it and you're like, good Lord. Like, I couldn't build that shelter in my backyard with a chainsaw, much less with a stinking axe and a tarp. Like, I'm like, good Lord, man. No, those guys are crazy, dude. But man, that broke my heart for you said the big fires, you know, when some of them have like a shelter fire and it's the middle of winter and I'm like, dude, you were set up, like you had everything.
Yeah.
And you stinking just caught your shelter on fire and now you're done.
Yeah.
No doubt.
It would be so hard to do that show. I do feel as an outdoorsman, I could last maybe a week. I don't know. I just don't see the how you can handle the mental part from like actually alone at some point. Now, to be honest with you, I do feel any of us here on this would actually probably do pretty well in the sense that you wouldn't feel alone because we're always talking to cameras. I think that any of us here could actually, that would be very therapeutic because I do it now. So yeah. I'm not so sure I feel alone.
I spend all day in my little man cave office anyways, just sitting here talking. So
yeah, if they had internet with the access to TikTok, they would be good, man. Oh. We'd see a lot of content come out of that.
Give me my Switch.
I'll tell you what, you know, Kevin just mentioned it and he said, Kevin said the last guy that won, and the first time he spoke on camera, I was like, this dude automatically has my vote for winner because he said, I don't have a family. I live alone. You know, so a lot of those guys, like one guy had a 1-year-old. I'm like, there's no way that I can make it away from my 1-year-old. I'm like, so the dude who has nobody back home, he already had my vote. Cause I'm like, that takes away the mental play of the game. And now you're just really who can succeed, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, man. After this last winter with COVID and the kids and the wife working at home and being at home for school, I don't know. I think I could last like 6 months.
Don't say it.
I tell you what, the people that amaze me are the ones that know so much about plants that they can live off.
Yeah. A couple ladies on there were amazing.
I mean, they make medicine, they make food. It's like, that's a talent.
Yes, or it can go opposite and you make a mistake and it could cost you big time.
Well, it was crazy though. The one in which the guy shot the moose, the way that ended with the moose, I mean, he was on the verge of not winning, right? I mean, his body was still, even though he had this huge food source,
he was starving to death.
He was starving to death because there was no fat content in the meat. It was all protein.
They always let them animals come and steal their good stuff. I'd be sleeping on top of it.
No doubt.
Well, you'd be going with it.
And what was interesting, I finally got to hear his reasoning, you know, when he was on the show. So he killed the first Wolverine. Well, the second Wolverine that came back, you can only kill one Wolverine there. So he's like, there's nothing I could do.
There's
rules. You know, he said, I tried to scare it off. I tried to, but I couldn't kill it. So I was like, well, man, that sucks. You know, just turn your camera off. And no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No doubt. No doubt.
Can you imagine? Oh, you'd be.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Shows are great and all that stuff, but again, it's not real life. So
there's rules behind the rules for sure.
The rules are always in place, no matter where you're at. I remember we had the guy on from Fat Guys in the Woods years ago when that show was just on air and started to do well. And that was one of the things he told us. He goes, we can't cut this tree down, can't touch this plant specifically. We couldn't touch this or that. And I mean, it was very interesting, like when you hear it from that perspective, you know, like, oh, wow, didn't think of that, you know.
For sure. But that is exciting. I mean, talking to talking to good people about their life experiences and having them share with it, just to bring it back to what you said earlier, makes the podcast go so much quicker and easier because you enjoy listening to it.
Yeah.
Right. It's I love the ones where like you can ask a single question and 20 minutes later, they're still telling this story and you're just listening to it because it's so good. You know, it's awesome.
No, man, you know, there's been a few times, and obviously I'm not going to name any names, but there's been a few times where like I grew up idolizing somebody and like that, you know, I watched them on TV growing up and then I get them on the podcast and it's just like, you know, I want to shoot myself and I'm like, good Lord, this is horrible. And, you know, I'll tell you today we did one for Pope and Young with Michael Waddell. And, that's somebody I grew up, you know, just idolizing and watching on TV. And, you know, for me, he was I was at that age where he was the guy, you know? And, I worried about that. Like, I was like, man, I wonder if he's going to suck. And then I'm going to, you know, I'm just not going to like him anymore.
Not Waddell.
No, yeah. One of the greatest guests of all time, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's our keynote speaker at Pope and Young this year. And, you know, after that, I'm just so excited to get to spend time with him and talk with him because, man, you know, he's one of those guys that didn't disappoint, you know, and some guys do. And, you know, again, I'm not going to name any names, but put it this way, they're definitely better in front of
Dave
a camera
Thomas
than they are behind a mic.
No doubt. No
Dave
doubt.
Thomas.
Now, I'll tell you somebody who doesn't disappoint is Ted Nugent, man. Back several years ago when we had kind of first started the podcast, we had an interview lined up with his wife, right? So we're on this podcast and we're all excited about it. There's like four of us around the, you know, the recording equipment and we're talking to her and all that kind of stuff. And naturally he just comes up, right? He's going to come up in every conversation. And she's like, oh yeah, you guys want to talk to him? We're like, well, yeah, right? So she hands the phone to him and he gets on the line and he's just 10 minutes of F-bombs and stories. And it was just such a cool experience. It was fun.
Never talk to us again. Hey, I'll take the one time.
Yeah, yeah, that Absolutely. Was fun though, man.
No, I'll tell you, that's exactly how Fred Eichler was for me. You know, he talked to you like he'd known you his whole life and just – energetic, fun, excited, and you know, just a really great guy. And you know, same with Waddell today, you know, just the kind of guy that treats you like, you know, he's known you his entire life, which, you know, for somebody of his stature says a lot. And you know, that's important for me, is, you know, they don't speak down to you, they don't speak like, you know, they're doing you a favor, but they speak to you like, hey, we're all in this together, we're one big happy family, we're friends. And so, you know, to go back to that first question about, you know, what episodes are the best, you know, I would just say, if you have a guest that literally values being on your show, it's the best. And, because they don't look at it as I'm doing you a favor or, that, you know, they're better than the rest of the world, but more so like I'm just talking hunting, which is my favorite thing to do anyway. So,
and I think people can see through it too, as well on the show,
100%.
As your 100%. Consumer listening to it, you're going to see through that. And that's why it's important in my mind when they do the show, no matter who it is, that, you know, they are down to earth like Waddell is. That Waddell's been one of our favorite guests for sure over time. I mean, he could tell stories for days and like, they're so good. Every one of his stories are hilarious and they bring a lot of positivity, you know?
I grew up in Arkansas, so I just love his little redneck sayings, man. I was just like, every time I was just like, I'm back home, you know, I'm like, yeah. I feel you. That's, you know, that's what my mom said, or that's what my dad used to say, or so that's what I love the most.
Yeah,
I love it, man.
I'll tell you one thing. I will say this about the podcasting and the industry, and I one of the things I've enjoyed most about podcasting, I think, you know, it's we've all have, I think, is just talking to everybody in the industry, and it's just a great way to really come together. I think it's and share like different stories and stuff. I mean, you're from Arkansas, we're from Michigan, right? I mean, it's just like, it's all over the place, but it's a great industry. And I think that's one of the fun things is just having that communication and be able to talk and, you know, joke about things. And like Waddell still owes me some beer, for God's sakes. I got to text him now that you said that. I get like, oh, where's that beer you owe me? I wanted that blue beer from Georgia. But yeah, I mean, it's just fun. And I think it's, and like for me, when I grew up, I was watching Bill Jordan. I was watching Tyler when he was a kid, you know, growing up. So it was cool to have him on our show and talk Realtree and all this stuff. It was just so interesting to go from like being that perspective of watching on TV growing up to all of a sudden those people are in front of you, talking to you, engaging you, texting you. I mean, it's really interesting in that sense.
No, I was telling somebody about this the other day, and I was just going about my day the other day, and I get a phone call and it says no caller ID. And I was like, gosh, stinging spam, you know? And so I answer it and I'm like, hello. And he said, hey, this is Dylan. I said, yes. And he said, this is Chuck Adams. And I'm like, oh my Lord. Like, I'm like falling back in my chair. And I literally am acting like a little girl on the phone with him. I'm like, oh my gosh, I read this magazine one time and you wrote it. And oh my Lord, you're the best there is. And, but I'm telling you, man, he spoke to me like, and I don't want to say anything like that'll put him down age wise, but he spoke to me. He's like a grandfather, like,
be careful.
But he spoke to me like somebody who valued my opinions, who valued my, and just, just a fantastic, genuine guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, these are the type of dudes that make up the industry I'm proud to be a part of,
No doubt. And we see the same thing, man, is that the best podcasts, the most genuine ones, are the ones that they want to share the love of what they do with everybody else. It's not about holding it to themselves, and holding those stories for themselves. It's about sharing that with other people to hopefully get them excited, and that's something that we work for. Before we did the podcast and everything, right? We wanted to build this community to bring hunters together and share stories to continue the tradition of, hunting and bow hunting and all that. And it's so cool when you get somebody that shares those values, and you can tell just right off the bat, man, that they just want to share stories, share their experiences, not for themselves, but for other people. So,
yeah, cool. And that's, that's one thing that, the Hunting 101 podcast was designed to not only teach, but to inspire. So if you tell a story, I want it to be a story where somebody listens to it and they think, man, I've always wanted to try bow hunting.
Yeah.
And now because of that story, I'm going to give it a shot, or even more specific, I've always wanted to go on an elk hunt, and that story, like, yeah, I'm in, so that's really, inspiring stories, not just stories that make you look good, not just stories that make you, you shot the elk at, 93 yards in a crosswind. I don't care about that stuff, but I care about the stories where it's going to stop and make dudes go, oh, I got to give that a shot. Like, I got to try that, which for me, that's what, hearing those stories of guys who started with a recurve, that for me, that was like, okay, yeah, I'm doing it. And, I told Snyder that. I'm like, man, watching your public switch to a recurve and the struggles and the ups and downs, that's part of what made me say, I'm going to try it. Because I saw you enjoy it. I saw you, although it sucks at times, I saw you push through and get better and succeed at it. And so I think if people are genuine enough to tell stories where people are truly inspired, then it'll make all the world a difference,
No doubt. One of my favorite questions to ask the different people that we have on, and sometimes they're not like big names in the hunting industry, or sometimes they work for a company and they're a product guy, right? They're a marketing guy or a sales guy. But one question that we always like to ask them is how they got started hunting, right? And it's just so cool that, like, when you ask them what got them into hunting, the smile that comes onto their face, and they're so ready to share that experience, whether it was, their buddy that got them hunting, their grandpa, their dad, their brother, their sister, whatever it was, or whatever turned them on to hunting, they just had this smile on their face that, like, kind of takes them back. And, like, everybody's got that story. Why did you start? Who got you started? And it's just a fun time to, like, go back and look at, all the interactions that you had over the years and how you got into it. So it's fun.
For me, I don't have, like, a cool story. It's pretty much just, my dad hunted. And when I finally showed interest, he said, well, let's go hunting. But what for me is even cooler is my sister, when she met her future husband, I was a 10, 11 year old kid. Maybe I remember I'm at 13, 14. I don't know, but I was a young kid, impressionable teenager. And he was a bow hunter. And so I remember the first time he came to my house, he pulled out this Matthew Z7 Extreme.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh snap, like, dude, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. And up until that point, now my dad was a bow hunter, but thanks to Chuck Adams, my dad still shot like an 87 Hoyt game getter, because that's what Chuck Adams shot when he shot a big bull moose or something. My dad
XX75.
Yeah, so he still shot like a 1987 Hoyt game getter. And so like that was my perception of archery. It was like, it's old school, it's for old dudes, you know, like my dad. And then I met this cool guy that was dating my sister, and he pulls out a Matthews Z7 Extreme blacked out, you know, and I'm like, whoa. And so I'm watching him shoot, and I'm like, this is what I want to do. And so I found a bear charge online. You know, I paid like $200 for it, but man, I went all out on that thing. I'm like, you know, I got to get custom strings. I need sights. I need to drop away. Nice. You know, I just went all out. And so that's what really got me hooked was seeing a young guy, who made archery cool. And so, you know, that's what really said, made me think, you know, I want to be a bow hunter. And so it's really cool for me to get to share these stories with my brother-in-law, who really was the one who got me into it. And gave me that itch, you know? And so, it's cool to get to share these stories with him. And I feel like he almost finds pride in it. Like, yeah, I help you get started. You know, I help you sight it in your first bow. I helped you drag out your first deer you shot with a bow, you know? And so it's a really cool thing to get to share with him. You know, now that I found a living in the archery world, I don't know if we've shared that yet, but my main job is the marketing director for Pope and Young. So, and so to be able to work in the archery industry for a living and get to share those stories with him, the guy who inspired me to take on archery, it's a special thing for me, you know?
Absolutely. And very cool. I think you're right on. We all need to make archery great again.
Yeah. So I owe my hunting beginnings to my dad, and then I owe my bow hunting, beginnings to my brother-in-law.
That's awesome, man. All right. Well, Dylan, thanks for joining us. And, you know, guys, check out Bear Archery Hunting 101 podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, because I'm sure it's everywhere, I would assume.
Yep. And it's on Bear's YouTube. So if you just want to go to Bear's YouTube, it's on the Bear Archery YouTube channel too. So
yeah, check cool. that. Also go to beararchery.com. You guys can check out the Redemption, one of the coolest bows we shot this year. Actually one of my favorites, and we did a bow build on it as well. You can check out Dylan's favorite bows and the Trads. They have a ton of those. And obviously one of the original maker, the original maker, I believe, with Fred Bear himself. And also then they have Trophy Ridge, Cajun Archery, and Sick Broadhead. So they have a lot going on. We just tested some of those Sick Broadheads, actually, Tim and I did about a week ago, Tim, was it?
Yeah.
In the ballistics gel. That was
awesome. Which one did you test?
F3 and F4.
Oh, man.
And I have to say, I was blown away because I believe it was the F4, mm-hmm. that had such depth penetration. I was blown away by the cut and the depth of that thing.
The channel that it did.
Very exciting.
I was busy cooking you lunch while you were correct. Shooting with James. That is, but I saw the aftermath, and the channel was pretty impressive.
Now, yes. I'll tell you, I for the longest time, I've not been an expandable guy. I've been a fixed guy for the better part of 10 years. And yep. Now they released the SK2, which won, you know, best broadhead of the year or whatever it won from Field and Stream. So I'm like, well, I better give it a shot. And so I shot it, and I was impressed by the way it was shooting. But then I went out and shot, and I shot a big mature Kansas whitetail, and I knew I shot it a bit forward. And I'm like, well, crap, I should have had stinking fixed blades, you know? And I find the deer, and that expandable had busted through both shoulders.
No way.
Of a giant, you know, mature.
Yeah, that's very Kansas impressive.
Kansas bodied whitetail. And so I was like, man, I'm a believer. Awesome. I did still go back to fixed blades, but I did go back to fixed. But I was impressed.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm a fixed blade guy myself, but I shoot traditionally crossbow. So, you know, the speed and the power through those things, I just like the fixed blade. I'm a guy that, and there's nothing wrong with mechanicals. Don't get me wrong. So you want to shoot them. I'm not coming down on it. It's just me personally. I like to eliminate any potential issue from going on. And to me, fixed blades do that a little bit. But I think the expandables have come so much out there now. And I'm talking about like 10 years ago versus today. It's really hard to find a bad expandable. or mechanical for that matter, compared to a fixed blade. There's a lot of good broadheads out there, and sick, man, when we put the sick, when we put those broadheads through the gel, it was sick. It was absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. You know, I will say this too. Bear Archery's been holding out on us on the crossbows because they've been all sold out. Their new crossbow, the Impact. So we've been pushing them. We're pushing the headquarters there. Like, we gotta get this thing going. Like, we don't have any. They're gone, man. They're not even. We can't even get them. They're sold out. You know. So that's something coming, Tim. I'm really excited for you to try out and play with you and Kevin, because I think when you guys see this thing and shoot it, it's going to look sick and have a lot of power behind it. And I think people forget that Bear makes crossbows because they don't push it a huge amount. You don't see it a lot, but that is a big thing they do. And they make a cool looking crossbow. That's for sure.
Well, that was going to be my closing comment to you, Dylan, is I can't wait to listen to your crossbow segment for your podcast. So you let me know.
Yeah, no, it'll come, man. It'll come for sure.
Awesome.
Have you shot the legit? The legit.
Yes, sir.
I got one of those for my wife, and
That's a bad idea. She can conceal that thing.
I'll tell you what, I was like, man, I better put it out to 70 and put it at 28 and just shoot it, you know, at least once. And I'm like, God, for a, you know, $300 bow fully set up, that right there is a shooter.
For sure.
Now, don't get me wrong, I'm still shooting the Redemption. If I do shoot a compound, it is the Redemption. But man, for a budget bow, that thing is a stinking good bow.
Awesome.
That's for sure. Yeah, and I think, and one of the bows we have a lot of fun with around here that we still have fun with, and I think you guys, they sent them to us maybe one last year, the year before, another one, is the Desire pistol crossbows.
Yes.
We have a blast with those things here.
We had a little shootout in the studio with that. Dave, he did win, but I swear he sabotaged my sight, my little red dot.
Hey, at least I hit the...
I've got a buddy who shoots barn pigeons with them religiously.
That's awesome. Like,
all the time, dude. He'll send me pictures of pigeons all the time, and his little crossbow laid over him like a trophy photo. And I'm like, dude, you're crazy.
Those things are fun, man, for sure.
All right, Dylan, thanks, man. We appreciate you jumping on with us, and we'll see you soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.